So here we are, the 3rd of June.
My goodness.
And you've been quoted in the paper?
Yes, and I don't think I was angry enough. If he wants to watch his son grow up so bad, then don't run for governor.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine if imagine you being president of Pacific and you have your office in Portland.
Yeah. Doesn't make much sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And, well, yes, I was, and it's good meet for Richardson. And we'll see how he handles it. But just because you're a Democrat doesn't mean you should be elected.
Yeah, yeah. But we've got, with Webby and Richardson, their poll numbers are where a generic Republican would be. And then Merkley and Kitsap are where a generic Democrat is. So they're no great shakes either, but there's a lot of hills you have to go through from the Republican side to get up there. So we got to see if they can do it. I'm really going to be watching this summer. Does money come in?
It looks as if Webby's done real well. How come? I don't quite know, but she's getting money, that is.
Well, she's done okay. She's done okay. She raised a little over $1 million herself and then had $1 million spent on her. But I just keep going back to Chris Dudley 4 years ago. I mean, he'd raised like $3 million at this point, and he ended up raising 10 and came really close. And it takes a lot of money to introduce yourself and all that stuff.
I think there's stuff that can be used. I've told the campaign people, I don't know if they can get it, but I remember it so well, right late in the campaign, with Kitsap in the Rushwood. And I'm going to get jobs for Oregon, not 10 years from now, not 5 years from now, but now. Well, if you get a piece of that, that wouldn't...
Now it's 20 years later.
But it's hard for me to understand why Richardson is fully knowledgeable about government. He's been there. Kitsap has, of course. But Kitsap really hasn't paid that much attention. So the depth of government is not anywhere near where he is. He said he kind of, because it was in Portland, he missed out on that $130 million down the tube. It's terrible. I mean, that's just a waste. And that's not worth it for us to have him in Portland. The Obama aura is, I think, really fading.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily the Obama aura, but at this point in any two-term presidency, it's done. It's done.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah.
I don't know why he wants to continually catch up. stay as governor.
Yeah, he's begun to articulate that, but it's like he's, when he focuses on the programs that he started in this third term that he wants to make sure go through, there's no great shakes there. There's nothing earth-shattering. It was a little less than a year ago that he said, well, it's going to be tax reform. But we know there's not going to be a word about any details on that until after the election. So he's not going to run on that. So, yeah.
Yeah, where we go.
It's a mystery.
You know, this is what I have to say. Ballot 5, I guess, was the number when they moved all the property taxes to the income tax. And the legislature didn't accommodate that. They were doing well, and that's fine. And they said that they didn't look ahead. We've got $1 billion. Then Kitsap was there, and he has a health thing, and that's another billion. So that's $2 billion. And I don't think there's no way, you know, out of either of those. Plus, we're not getting the jobs that we need, and I'm not sure we can get that many jobs. But now, can we raise the income tax? Not just on the wealthy. You could take all of theirs and it really wouldn't balance the budget.
Yeah.
So the answer is no. Can we pass a sales tax? No way. Can we raise property taxes? Not to that dimension. So if you just look at what I just said, what's the only answer? You really have to, in some way, reduce what you're spending. That's not an answer. But the major part was, and Republicans are involved in this too, they just didn't look up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We saw that, in fact, through the whole 90s when the Republicans took over the legislature, they did the same thing. And it's always down the road.
Yeah.
I wonder, I wasn't going to ask you about this because I hadn't thought about it, but in the 1990s, as that was happening, that's also when we put in term limits.
Yeah.
They didn't last for very long, but it started a culture that's lasted from then until now. People serve in the House 2 or 3 terms, and they're out. Some people, like Peter Courtney, you know, last forever. But that's the exception. No one has a 20-year career anymore like you did.
Damn.
And so I'm wondering if that, when you face things in the legislature and governor, and you were able to think, as governor, wow, this is what we did in 1965, or things like that. I wonder if that, what we call in political science, institutional memory, if that is something that you've seen change as you've watched the entire government system deal with things. Or has it, for instance, shifted from the legislature and elected officials so that it's more in the departments where people do have jobs and are there for a while?
Well, Jim, the institutional memory in this case, I've got 2 or 3 years, and that's gone, and that's not enough to do the job. But I would also say, in relation to what you do, that, although you're not a writer, but the newspapers, their writers don't have institutional memory. So what happens today is something brand new, and it is old with rust on it.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, oh, I don't know how many years, but more years than I thought I was going to be there. I don't think they need people like me anymore, you know, older guy. And then I said, no, they do need some people like me who have that back. Not a whole legislature,
right.
but they need some people like me.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about the fact it's so onerous and so mean at times.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people say, oh, screw it. What the hell am I doing here? I'll leave it here. My dream of changing Oregon is just a lot of baloney.
Right.
And that's what's happening. But I'm always bringing back to the elector, because the elector is the one that's putting these people there.
Right.
And the elector is not making the kinds of decisions that they should. Made some pretty bad ones, as a matter of fact. And how do we fix that? Well, there's nothing, you know better than I, because I don't, but there's not much in the schools that teach you just the basics.
No. There's a civics class, which people generally blow off. I remember when I took civics, because my dad was the county commissioner and had been a reporter on the television and all this stuff, and I was a smart kid, the teacher just had me teach the class, which was a lot more than he would have done.
Or could.
But it's always been kind of pushed off to the side. Sometimes you get really good civics teachers, but it's because it's a requirement. It's where they put the people who are near retirement or who are also coaching or, you know, the debate coach, what are they, all these things. And it's catch as catch can.
And that's the depressing thing that adds to $17 trillion debt. And, you know, where the hell are we going to go from here? My kids, their kids, you know, when they talk about balancing the budget, all we did was just pay for what we spent that year. Nothing about paying off the debt.
Yeah.
So we're adding a whole bunch of stuff. How do we get that out there? I don't know if people would listen long enough or pay any attention to it.
These conversations always tend to preach to the choir, and that's a very small segment.
Yeah.
And people agree or disagree with you in the choir,
but
they know what they're talking about. It reminds me of 20 years ago when the Clinton health plan was going through, and at one point, just based on his name, the senator from Phil Graham from Texas, who PhD in economics, a tenured professor at like 28 years old, he brilliant. But at one point, Hillary Clinton, because she was spearheading that, was in testifying before his committee. And he said, Mrs. Clinton, I have to say that you and I are probably the only two people in this room who knows what's going on in this bill. But, and they went at it, and at a very high level. And that's the problem with those conversations.
Yeah.
They always, the complexity becomes sound bites, which then turn into something that doesn't deal with the issue.
Now, there are two prophetics. One is Stalin and one is Lincoln. They both say the same thing. Stalin says, we don't have to invade. You're going to take care of it on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And Lincoln says that if we do not survive, it's our fault.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm obviously paraphrasing.
Yeah.
And these are the kinds of things I sit and listen and I think about, worry about. I got into this thing because I really am a very ardent person in regard to our democratic type of government and mm-hmm. the people want it, and people run away from it. Even the fact of, which I'm very damn proud of, voting by mail,
mm-hmm.
but I walked to my precinct at the school on election day. You know, I physically did something
mm-hmm.
besides put
yeah.
a stamp.
Now you don't even have to lick them.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. And then we say that, gee, that's neat.
Yeah.
That's not neat.
Yeah.
I've got it written in my multi thing, you know, how many hours in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm writing, couldn't we spend at least one or two of those once every 2 years?
Right.
Well, anyway, there you are.
Yeah, exactly. Yesterday I was talking to the Washington County Public Affairs Forum.
Mm.
I did 2 weeks ago before the election, and then I did yesterday after the election. And somebody asked me, because our voter turnout was between 35 and 36, it'll probably settle around 36%. And that's awful. But compared to other parts of the country, it's great. Average in these primaries across the country has been 13%.
Mm.
Texas, 7%.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody was asking about it, and I was pointing out that in political science, we've actually studied this pretty well. Since World War II, the participation has been wafting down. Variety of reasons, but then you add in, you know, for the Civil Rights Act, adds a group in, and it goes up, but then it continues going down. You vote by mail, it pops up, and then goes down. And we have all these short-term solutions, like the open primary idea. And they all have a short-term effect, but the cultural connection, we don't know how to solve that. We just don't know how to do that.
Well, there is a way, and of course it's education. It's talking about how important it is when the kids are younger. And that was my message when I went to schools.
Mm-hmm.
And It's an important event, so they have to learn what the system is.
Right, right.
And the system is that the people run the government. That's
yeah.
what our system is. And people aren't paying much attention to it.
Yep.
And when the occupiers were by the city,
mm-hmm.
And so I wouldn't have let that happen if I'd been mayor. And we would have cut that one off the first day. But anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Big government. We've got to get big government. And it was very much like people would say to me, government's no goddamn good. Don't tell me where it's no damn good. I can take care of that. But when
yep.
you say government,
yeah.
I can't do anything about that one.
Yeah.
And
I saw there's a wonderful, going through the oral history, you have a wonderful image of how you ran committee meetings when you were doing education.
Yeah.
And people would come in and say, darn the education system, and you stop, we know this. Tell me what to do to change it.
Yeah.
Now the testimony gets really short, and we move on.
I'm glad I remember that so well, because I knew him, and I knew he was coming up, and I knew how I could handle him, and yeah, you're right. I remember that. That was the other one that Betty Roberts, she had a bill in to eliminate the last year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And put in kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Betty, because the last year is not relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we could make the last year relevant.
Yeah, there's that option.
I was the kind of a chairman that would let that go, and it went to the floor, and we beat her on the floor. But that was the way things was supposed to work.
Yeah.
But, oh God, I don't know. I don't know. First of all, I'm disappointed. I had some problems with government, and I really hadn't converted from the national to state, but I thought, well, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to do it straightforward and honestly, and maybe somebody said, well, gosh, he did it, maybe I can do it, and then we can improve things.
Mm-hmm.
Bullshit. Didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, of course, in those days, they give you stamps.
Mm-hmm.
And then you meant to hear me. I had their stamps and my stamps.
Right.
Nobody, but now you and me know that.
Right.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
So there's a disappointment. I have to say that I feel real good about how we handled government, how we changed, we really changed government for the 8-year period. How we got through the recession.
Mm-hmm.
How it was interesting in our staff meetings how our managers of state government, they were excited about being a part of solving a tough problem.
Good, yeah.
And that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Your folks, and they were all bright people. That's how I picked them.
Mm-hmm.
I tell them, I want you to do this job, and I expect you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Saying to them, I want to use your brain.
Yeah.
Don't report to me every day what you did.
Right.
And that makes guys feel pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Well, that gets into what I wanted to focus on today. Two things, how you picked people and some of the people that really stand out as successes and failures in picking them. And then after we're done with that, then I wanted to get into beginning to pick apart what your perception was of the recession and then how you saw a role for state government in dealing with that. So let's start with picking people. You've got your own staff. We talked about Denny Miles when I was here last time. But there's chief of staff, you know, all those kinds of people. So let's start with those. How did you think of them, pick them, and then use them when you were in office?
Both. I'm going chief of staff, mm-hmm. and Denny Miles. Denny came as at Oregon State, he was communication.
Yeah, did video stuff and things, yeah.
And he wanted to get involved, so the school said yes for the session. So he came on as a very basic intern in my office,
mm-hmm.
and lasted it. And then the next session, he came again. The third session, they figured the school could stand so much that he really had to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
But, so now I'm working with him.
Right.
And I've really felt sorry for him. Several times people say that Danny Miles is not doing his job, meaning he's not getting the tears and ink out every day. And what the hell are you going to say that he did every day?
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
he separated his stamps.
So, you know, he didn't have much meat to feed him. So it wasn't his fault, it was me, not a fault, but so I knew him.
Mm-hmm.
But not just knew him in terms of his capability of communication, of what kind of a guy he was.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing happened with Jerry Thompson. She and Al were my chairman for Marion County for mm-hmm. the two elections.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew her. Now, she didn't know even know herself. By that I mean, she was number one on my list when I was elected. And she said, well, she was at OPS and she had a program going and she couldn't leave it. And actually, Lee Johnson wasn't even second. He was.
Mm-hmm.
Lynn Newber was next, but he had a deal going that was really benefiting him in his lumber mill.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but I knew Jerry and I knew Al. I called Jerry, and she turned me down on the basis of what I just said. It turns out later, when Lee had left,
mm-hmm.
That after she came aboard, she said, I didn't think I could do it.
Mm.
I thought she could do it, but
right.
She didn't think she could do it.
Right.
And, but it just innately, I knew she could do it. I don't know how it is. I know people, some maybe, I don't think there'd be a rush to it to be, I like them or I don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that I'm very sensitive as to the people and who they are. Let's leave those two. I've been there 20 years. I knew the good guys. People were, I knew the qualified folks, so I knew who I wanted to have it in these top jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And
so it was important for them to have not just expertise, but you appreciated the experience they had in government.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, the fact is that I knew they knew. And Leo Hagstrom, he had a big budget.
Mm-hmm.
It's the human resource. Right, I knew that was a tough one to deal with. But when the thing we did that was so good, I'm going beyond your question, mm-hmm. is that we had weekly meetings.
Right.
Now, the point was that it helped to the degree of what's going on. You know, during the week, each week would report, but and so I would really keep tabs. I told them initially, I don't want to ever be surprised.
Yeah.
And I never was surprised. So I got that, but they got to know each other. And my best example is that we started housing,
mm-hmm.
but I'm now in the legislature at that
yeah.
point, and I think the budget was $125 million or something like that, and they started to say how they were going to use that money, and they finally got to $25 million for outreach,
mm-hmm.
and I. Outreach, what the hell are you talking about? Just open the door. You don't have to go get them.
They'll come to you.
Yeah. Why spend $25 million for that? I will not vote for the damn. Mm-hmm. And they finally gave it all to them. But during the recession, I use the word surgically, because it's true. Small agencies, 10%, that's big.
Mm-hmm.
Big agencies, they'd like it, but they could do it,
mm-hmm.
and live with it. So surgically, number one. Number two was that we need to make the cuts, but Oregon is going to recover, so let's not destroy it. When we start getting better, we're there.
Right.
Those were all in my head, but I was so happy to watch him function, knowing that they were an important part. I used the word, they didn't work for me. We worked together.
Mm-hmm.
And that made him feel, that made me feel good too.
Mm-hmm.
I guess knowing people and knowing what I expected.
Mm-hmm.
20 years of retail, 20 years legislature, kind of gives you really a story.
Yeah.
And it worked very well.
Mm-hmm.
I got to agencies and I kept repeating, now why are you, you have your job, but that's why you have your job. You don't think about me, think about why you're doing what you're doing.
Right.
And many little things, visiting him and talking, not just the agency heads, but we had the public employees. I'll get the full name, but that isn't important. We started a program of suggestions.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we gave 10% of what was spent for 1 year up to
$5,000.
Mm-hmm. And agency heads were not part of it.
Mm-hmm.
By then, I mean they would run through their agency, but they were not part of the program because he stole my idea and
Right.
We don't. They want that to happen. And even a little bit helped.
Yeah.
One fellow I went to Human Resource on I went to their agency, and there were several there that were going to get checked. And of course, I didn't know what to do. And the man said, I suggested you abolish my job. And whoever was making the decisions, that was very good. there's so many things we could talk about. I think we try to grab it. When Tom McCall finished, and I never thought about governorship.
Mm-hmm.
And when he quit, and I said, hell, I can do that job.
Mm-hmm.
Internally.
Yeah.
I wasn't nervous. I wasn't and job that needed to be done. There were things I didn't like, I couldn't do as a legislator. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I can do that job. And when I lost, I said to myself, well, I know that I am where Oregonians are.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't get the message, and this is the first time out of Washington County, and Bob Straub is out to bust Watergate and all the rest of it. I figured that wasn't too bad. The one lose, but 45 is not earth-shaking.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an easy. I wasn't trembling about the whole thing.
Yeah.
I just said, I can do that job.
So getting back to the agencies and you and other appointees, in political science, there's people who study this a lot. They tend to go look at the presidential cabinet. But there's something called going native that happens. And that's when you appoint somebody to be the cabinet officer for Veterans Affairs or Health or Defense. And at a certain point, they stop doing what the president wants, and they start defending the status quo or thinking more as the agency itself. Did you encounter that, or did the weekly meetings, do you think, help to kind of break that down?
It wasn't a matter of reporting for changes, but they were reporting for something, whatever they did.
Mm-hmm.
We were very open, and in the face of all the peers, and every once in a while there would be something come up, and I'd say, that's dumb.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'd say, that's dumb.
Mm-hmm.
So when we were talking among ourselves, although we never used the word, but we were all part of this team. It wasn't just Picatinny.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't be Picatinny. And of course, I didn't have to. I know you, and I don't know who you are. But when they selected you for the book,
mm-hmm.
I was delighted,
mm-hmm.
for many reasons. And mainly your objective that you were out there to sing a love song. You were there to talk about that period of time when Picatinny was in mm-hmm. the mix. And that pleased me.
Mm-hmm.
Where I wanted to go. And so that's how I would select people. And in turn, they would come to me sometime with someone in the upper reaches of their agency, and they were having a bit of a problem. My question always was, are they worth saving?
Mm-hmm.
If the answer was yes, well, let's work it out. If the answer was no, well then get rid of them right now, because mm-hmm. that's not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the kind of thing, I think, if you were governor, you'd do the same. Common sense is the word I use.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you'll enjoy this. I started early in our cabinet. Governor, we've got this problem. No, and it won't wait. No problems. For all opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So we go through all these years. We're getting 82, late, maybe the third special session. Governor, this is no longer an opportunity. This is really just a problem.
Right. Right.
I remember that.
Yeah. So let's take that opportunity then to shift to the recession.
Yes.
and the things that you saw, and then the ideas and actions of the state government to deal with it. So when we look back, remember, economists have different views about a recession than real people. So we've been out of this recession since 2008, but people are kind of thinking, yeah, we might be, and it's 6 years later. And in your time in office, there were actually two official recessions. There was a short one in 1980, and then it came up, and then it went into the deeper one in 1981-82. So when did the economic downturn become a real issue that began to kind of dominate what you did as governor?
Well, I know I'm trying to think of it. Well, first thing I knew, and in other words, it's gospel to me, you can't have an unbalanced budget. So
that's a strong sign right there.
That was the thing.
Yeah.
But the other thing was, and the legislature hasn't done it, is that let's jump in and do something right now, because we can't save money we spent.
Yeah.
And so they would say, we'll wait till the next session, or we'll put it off, or have another. As long as you wait, you spent money, you can't save it.
Mm-hmm.
So my attitude was, being a retailer, we got a problem, let's go solve it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we actually had one in 81 and three in 82.
Mm-hmm.
81 was easy. There was ways to do it without any real problems.
Yeah.
And as you know, the first one in 82 was raucous, and that established a new homes record.
Mm-hmm.
But it also established sort of an understanding that we just can't keep running these things.
Right.
And but each time it was a matter of we're cutting, and there is their meat, and then there's bone. And legislature, they realized we were the bone, so we've got to keep that in control. And then the third, and then the fourth one. And I put together, in my mind, the recession, 82, re-election.
Yeah.
Same time.
Yeah.
And at no point did I ever think about what I'm doing is going to affect my election. And a thing I couldn't understand either was that Ted, I'll talk about that in a moment. I out campaigned him.
Right.
And he's a senator, he can do whatever he wants to. Incidentally, Ted and I just get along real well. I like him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a good man.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that we go to some events where we're sitting next to each other, and I'll get up and he'll kind of reach over to help this old
mm-hmm.
man.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk about him, but he does that. But now I want to get back to my agency, because it's important. We made cuts, and I'll pick out one that stands out to me. It's just sheltered workshops. The way you had, this was in human resource,
mm-hmm.
and how many could we afford?
Right.
So we can afford 35, but we couldn't afford 40.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing, which meant flying was going to be a ship.
Yeah.
Now that's pretty small government, but when you do that, everybody understands they're getting treated evenly, fairly.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't blame them.
Mm-hmm.
But they just knew that, and everybody was in that position. Now, I took 3 pay cuts, which really was cosmetic. I know it. I mean, in terms of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just a matter of telling the folks, I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it got so that we all were working, not just government. We were all working. At that time, we were able to funnel our food through the senior centers.
Right.
And they're all around the state. And a lot of good ideas came out of it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things that we did remained in the wastebasket.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you have that kind of thing, that's probably the best time to get rid of stuff you don't need.
Yeah.
it's some crummy thing, but you got plenty of money. You keep doing crummy things.
Mm-hmm. Were there, it's kind of off that line, so you're getting rid of things, and then you talked about the way there were ideas about, for instance, how to better get food out and things like that. How much were you thinking of ways that we can not only cut the budget because we've got to balance it, but shifting things to where they, for instance, might be a better economic pump into the economy, or they might deal with the hunger unemployment issues better? Were you thinking about those kinds of shifts as you were going through all of this? Or was it more, you know, everything's got to be cut 10% and we're going to look at small agencies versus large agencies and be surgical about this?
Yes, very definitely. Very good. I knew that the money we get is from people working, paying taxes.
Mm-hmm.
In those kinds of conditions, there's no such thing. Well, we did do the surtax, and they believed it. We said 3 years, I think we went 4.
Mm-hmm.
But they believed us.
Mm-hmm.
But while I'm cutting budgets, I raised economic development. Those two. Others were cut.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew where our jobs were going to be or come from, or higher ed, and it's one of those things that I read got $100 last session, and we raised the budget 10%. Okay, now they get 110. I want to break loose from that.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what the next legislature is going to do, we'll take it to a higher level.
Yeah.
So now you're adding 10% up here. So when you asked me about what I thought about the future and how you mm-hmm. get there, it wasn't just a matter of cutting and cutting and saving money,
mm-hmm.
but it also was a really effort to get jobs in the state of Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And when they say jobs, I mean taxpayers.
Yeah.
And it worked. Mm-hmm. Well, the other one worked was we didn't destroy government as we came out of it. Government was still good in shape.
Mm-hmm.
So the elements that were surrounding decisions of how many sheltered workshops, you know,
right.
it's it all boiled down to we're going to get it out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be ready for it. In the meantime, these are the things that have to be done. You have to do it. You can't just say, like Kutzhaber said, not 10 years, 5 years, never. This is a damn nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't go out and get shelter now.
Mm-hmm.
But there's the electors again.
Yeah. That's what Thucydides was warning us about, is all those silver-tongued orators out there. And they're successful. They're very successful.
Yeah. Yeah, they say things and I say, they believe this.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I'm sure is probably driven you nuts, this candidates for Congress and Senate, and then they'll go get some bright guy from Washington, D.C. to be an advisor.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing about Oregon or Oregon.
No.
And
we're seeing that with the campaign staffs.
Yeah.
They ship campaign staffs out here, and it's like, you know, you got to talk to Oregonians, like Oregonians. Can't give me a commercial and a message that would work in Georgia or Minnesota or Florida. We're not there.
Yeah. I had really a very clever man out of his home in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
After I lost my first race, and I'm trying to remember now, I should remember his name, a wonderful man, unfortunately died young. If you decide you want to run again, you need Paul Newman. And he calls himself the real Paul Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where it kind of hung.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we got closer to the whole thing, finally went up to Seattle to meet him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was an advisor for the National Physicians.
Oh, yeah, some doctors, yeah.
Yeah. And he was speaking to them with a t-shirt and a beard and had them standing up and cheering.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's describing this man. And he said, he's a little muddy, but he's really good. So when we told him we're coming up, he says, to my friend, I got some surprises. So we land and he comes to greet us, and he's excited. He's got a suit on and he's got a Brooks Brothers credit card.
Mm-hmm.
that was the change of the
day. Uh-huh.
But that's as far away as you want to get, and he was very bright.
Yeah.
He also said that I'm going to make some suggestions, and if you want to use him, fine. If you don't want to use them, that's fine too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to cry and go off by myself.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. You decide what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the smart thing. Most of us say, now this is what you have to do.
Right.
Which is probably something you shouldn't have to do.
Right.
So all of these mechanics, you and I can talk about them, and you know what I'm talking about. And that's what that memory thing mm-hmm. comes in. And like I said to myself, well, they need a few like me, not a whole lot, but they need some like me. Fortunately, they come to you, the media,
mm-hmm.
and say, what do you say? So you get a shot at it.
Yeah.
I've been timid about Kitzhaber. I don't like his style. Not getting out and talking to people, not being available.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I knew it was coming up because the guy called me.
Mm-hmm.
And why Kitzhaber even conceive it? That shows his character.
Mm-hmm.
This is a matter of believing. There are many things that you do different when you're a governor.
Mm-hmm.
And I would no more think of running the governorship out of this house than I would fly a kite. You know, that's where it is, and that's where you go. And
in that article, it was interesting that they didn't bring up, there's another governor who did exactly that, but even more. Julius Meyer.
Oh, yeah?
He sat out at Manuka.
No kidding.
And his driver would drive him in occasionally and drive him back. And he ran the whole state during legislative sessions and everything, sitting out there at Manuka. And it's just... So when they were doing this Kitzhaber thing, saying there's a great example, and you can take pictures. I mean, but they didn't. They didn't either. Didn't know it or didn't put it in there. But it's been done before. They did a lot of research to make that to put that story together as well. I was also fascinated. Today's the primary in California, and so Jerry Brown is going up for his fourth term with a new. They have this open primary system and things like that. He's expected to get through just fine. But it's fascinating as I was going to come talk to you. You served at the same time Jerry Brown did, who's now on his fourth. Kitzhaber is a fair chunk after you. I mean, he was in the Senate when you were there. But it's just interesting to see these two guys going for their fourth term. And in effect, Jerry Brown adds another generation ahead of Kitzhaber. In terms of the amount of time that he's been around at this high level.
Yeah.
And Jerry Brown, you know, his Kitzhaber, you can see he's mellowed. He's actually changed. He's in, compared to where he was his first term or two, he's much more outgoing. You know, he'll campaign for people in the legislature. He never did that before. Jerry Brown has undergone a huge conversion in the type of governor he is. In his openness, in ability to really work across the aisle, lots of things. It's like he was the ideologue who became the total pragmatist. Whereas Kitzhaber, you can see a continuity there. There's not a...
I sense that by little things I read about Jerry Brown,
mm-hmm.
and having known him, I sense that it ain't the same Jerry Brown.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a story. We first national governors meeting in Washington, and California was sitting there next to me here. And Jerry Brown at that time was constantly running for president.
Right.
And so he was running for president. And the setup, as you know, is the square. And then, and in this case, the media was all up against that wall, and we were sitting here. So, well, start the meeting, and he had not yet shown up.
Mm-hmm.
And sometime during the meeting, he comes in with his entourage, and immediately he starts talking to him, I guess figuring out what question he wants to ask. I finally said, Governor, Secretary from Oregon, and he wasn't really interested in that.
Mm.
Oh, well, but now I'm going to do the, they even got a photograph.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you sit there and they have these water things, but doilies.
Yeah.
Paper doilies.
Yeah.
So he says to me, would you like a drink of water? Oh, yeah, thank you. So he picks this thing up with the doily attached, pours the water down, and then puts it here. Why? Because he didn't want the water thing in front of him. He wanted it in front of me. I want him for president of the United States.
Yeah.
Oh my God, if I were fast enough, I would have said to him later, would you like a drink of water? And, but there's a program somewhere.
Yeah.
It was a newspaper thing of Jerry Brown pouring water with the day.
Mm-hmm.
But, and of course, the fact that he was married had a lot to do with whatever he was doing.
Oh, yeah.
And now we're all different. Tom, I said to Ed Westerdahl, why don't you make a deal with Tom? You have him write his speeches, and you write the ad libs. We went back to Washington. I think we may have talked about Senate Bill 100,
yeah.
Senator Jackson.
Yeah. I was actually just reading about that as well.
Yeah. And the one thing, truly, he gets credit. But he gets credit for doing the whole thing. I give him credit for being tenacious. In other words, he took it and ran with it. And so it was him taking it and running with it,
mm-hmm.
that we're able to move these measures.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I don't understand is why his portrait has him at the beach. Because he had nothing to do with it. Nothing.
Mm-hmm. He flew in with a helicopter and a stick.
And Audrey didn't. It's that Audrey didn't like it. She said she didn't. I'm sure Tom did because he's big as life.
Yeah.
But she said to me, sometime in the middle of the night that Tom had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So I drove up and talked with Audrey. She was telling me about what this whole service is going to,
mm-hmm.
what's going to happen. But then she said, oh, Tom's going to love it.
Yeah. When I was giving my talk yesterday, because the Senate and the governor's race have the potential to be really interesting, but a lot has to happen to really make them strong races. But we may have a wonderful group of ballot measures, including one to have a Tom McCall Day. And so I was as I was talking to them, I was saying, so I don't know what you do on Tom McCall Day. I'm envisioning people running to the beach with sticks and putting them at the mean high tide line and posing for pictures.
the quickest way to describe Tom is, I think, playing golf. I told him, I must have told him, nice shot, Tom. And his reply was, yes, it was. And normally you'd say thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a sort of snapshot.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
But that's who he was. He liked it.
Uh-huh.
he pushed things to happen, as you know. The bottle mill was not his at all.
No.
He posed it to start with. But it was really heavily lobbied because we had a glass manufacturing plant. But it was his push. So that's where I give him credit.
Yeah.
Not for inventing it, but for being out in front.
Yeah. Like the Henry Ford of politics. Didn't really invent anything, but by gosh, he put it together and pushed it. Yeah.
Or you could have any color you want, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I just learned that before the every color you wanted, except black, they had them in all sorts of colors. But what he discovered is, with the new way that he put together the production line, black paint was the only thing that would dry in time to keep the production line going at that speed.
Uh-huh.
And so that's why they did everything. Before that, when it was a slower line, you could pick all sorts of colors.
Yeah.
But it was just because those other colors wouldn't dry fast enough. Uh-huh. And so there you go. They're black.
Yeah. Well, a lot of reasons for things.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Well, we've been going for a little over an hour. The next big thing I wanted to talk about was the Rajneeshis. Do you want to do that now for the next 20 minutes or so? Or?
Sure.
Okay. So let's talk Rajneeshis. The key things here, I mean, people have written about the Rajneeshis, all sorts of angles on it. But I know from talking a little bit to you and then a lot to Denny that... you had behind the doors, you had the state police set up and all those things. And then that you made a very particular point of not talking to the Rajneeshis in person, and that you carried your executive order around with you all the time. So tell me, kind of a complete story, how did they come to your attention and then the reactions as you moved through the Rajneeshi time?
Attention was the red clothes that they all had, and Sheila, crude, terribly arrogant. And of course, Oregonians, they're men in hell, and they had the right to be. Rajneesh figured that they're bigger than anybody. Adam and do something about those people. What do you want me to do? I said, look, if they break the law, there's the citizen, they're going to get the same treatment anybody else will. Because they are loud mouth pushing around, there's nothing in the Constitution about that.
Mm-hmm.
And in a democracy, you can do that. And I've told people, I said repeatedly, you don't understand democracy. You really don't, because that couldn't happen. As a matter of fact, didn't happen. When he went back to India, they wouldn't let him in his own city.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So they come to me and say, they've got guns. Yeah, I know they have guns. And we had good information.
Mm-hmm.
But, every pickup comes up and down the freeway, he's got a gun up there on the... We can have guns, but he can't have guns.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it always came back to me as a democracy. You violate it, you're in trouble. Now, they were on the verge of violating it, and you've heard that we put into training the National Guard. Now, the reason for that was if they're in training, and the federal government pays for it.
Exactly.
There we had all that equipment at Redmond.
Mm-hmm.
they brought these homeless, and it wasn't working for them, so they just turned them loose, and I kept yelling at them, "You've got to send these poor people back to or at least something they know." And in the meantime, quietly, the Salvation Army would give money to go get them and put them on a bus. So we never told them that we were doing it. And I hated them as much as anybody. The other one thing, though, I knew that they were going to go away. Cults always go away. And, you know, if you know of any history at all, they'll go away. The only problem is, when are they going to go away?
Right.
And so Oregon is, in the, I think, in their right to be mad. But they have to remember that it's a democracy. Things we can do and can't do, and they should realize that that's the case. And Sheila really wanted me to come talk to him. I didn't want to give any sliver of credibility to Ray and Bob Smith would meet with him. For the first time, and unfortunately probably the last time, all law enforcement was working together. And you know, fortunately, they out there and some are here across the line. That's my criminal. What do you mean your criminal?
Right.
He's a criminal.
Right.
And so long as the sheriffs and the police and the state police and all of that and the federal government, and they all worked together for the first time. And that helped put, keep a cap on them. But you go through that, and I get training if you want to learn anything, but I'm not sure they learned anything. But in a democracy, you take it as it comes, and you do the things that need to be done.
Did the Rajneeshis do anything after they successfully won election? So they took over the city. Did they do things like take part in the League of Oregon Cities meetings or anything like that that you know of?
No.
I mean, because it would seem to me that if I were in a cult doing that kind of thing, but then you gain a major legitimacy, you know, under the rules you've won. If I wanted to talk to somebody like you, I'd just figure out what the League of Oregon Cities was doing, and I'd go to a meeting where you were.
Oh, I think they probably felt they were bigger than whatever it is they joined. They really did feel they were big time. But they were dealing with a small city and a small county, and they weren't going to go very far. The Salmonella thing, that was awful. There has, this is not proven, but the night before the session had started, Boggins were still going, and I was to say a few words along with whatever else they had. And during the course of the dinner, I got really very sick. I got up and said a few words and left. Dolores and Lon said we ought to go to emergency now. We went home. And finally I agreed. I was in bad shape. Dizzy and nauseous and it just came on. Now, I think this gospel that the Bhagavan had something to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be. Fortunately, I was able to. They gave me shots and did whatever they had to do. And I was able to get up and go to the next morning.
Right.
And I was anxious because the next morning is my last chance to speak to the joint
session. Right.
So there was that. We didn't make much of it, but that was guesswork. Salmonella was not guesswork.
Yeah.
And so they could do those things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said, we had a Bhagwan and a recession all at the same time. could we have been different?
Space out a little bit. Yeah.
But it was interesting. And interesting to go through it. And then I go back, and I'm not being too modest, but I come from a small rug store business.
Mm-hmm.
And my brothers and I are retailers, which, as it turns out, is a useful learning tool.
Mm-hmm.
And all the things that are involved, and we didn't. There were months we wouldn't take our own salaries because we couldn't make it. The kinds of things retailers have to face. And I remember going back to Washington. No. Anyway, my cousin is a stiff back there.
Mm-hmm.
Told him that I decided I was going to run for governor. And they said, "Well, that's nice." And you could tell, "Oh, that's nice." And the whole thing just happens. I never anticipated and held to it that I was not going to ever commit myself to running again.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly I would never thought about governor. Never.
Mm-hmm.
Until I figured by 20 years training, I think I'm ready to be put on.
Yeah.
Get off the bench.
Yeah. Did you ever consider national office?
National, no. Not for a moment. Two things. I didn't want to go to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
But probably more important is when you're one of one.
Right.
It's hard to be one of 100 or
435, yeah.
And I watched Congress and they just sort of stop around. They'll solve problems 2 years after it needs to be solved.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most important post is governor, because you can make changes in a state.
Mm-hmm.
And if you make a mistake, it's only a 1/50th mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Back there, it's 50 out of 50. So I had no inclination or desire. I believe I could have beat Bob back when in the primary.
Mm-hmm.
But I walked the beach with him. I told him I wasn't going to run. I think probably he slept better that night.
Because he had his first re-election, or his second. But at one point, there was a Tom McCall thing going on there, too.
Yeah, well, yeah,
there's the famous story of on the filing deadline, just before 5 o'clock, Packwood's up at the dais.
Yeah.
And McCall walks in at, 4:55 or whatever.
Yeah.
Glad hands, everybody gets up in the front and shakes Bob's hand and says, good luck. just goes away. But so, yeah, I mean, you're the most recent Republican governor, but you were a governor at a time when, those moderate Republicans, there were giants and they bumped into each other. Which is exciting to watch.
Yeah.
And, it sounds like you had a good attitude about how it all worked and things like that. But if you were a bit thin-skinned, it could be a pretty threatening time if you were up there. Yeah,
it could be. It's, really, when you think of it, a state is a place you can make changes.
Yeah.
And they can be copied by other states if it works. And not much of it happens that way.
Mm-hmm.
But the federal government is just out of control. Totally out of control. Mm-hmm. Everybody's thinking about what can I do to make me look good for my next election.
Yeah.
And that's not the way you're supposed to vote.
Yeah. In political science, we talk about the state's role in this as the laboratories of democracy, where you try things. And it's fascinating to watch how people in the president or in Congress don't let the laboratories work. So first big example is the No Child Left Behind, which was Texas for like 2 years. And we didn't know if it worked or not. We later found out it didn't. but by gosh, Bush becomes president and he sells people and poof, there it is. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's had its ups and downs and it's kind of going away. Yeah. But the healthcare is the same thing. Massachusetts, that's the plan that we used. And it had worked moderately well in Massachusetts. But there were specific things about Massachusetts that made it work. And then boom, that's what everybody falls on is they're coming around, and it's everywhere.
Yep.
And it's a grand experiment, and we're not all Massachusetts, and we'll see what happens. But it's just fascinating to watch the politicians say, oh, I did one experiment in one place, so it must be applicable everywhere. So there we go. Yeah. So something to watch on that is Obama's carbon emissions idea that just came out. It's based on what Oregon, Washington, California, and several other states, including a couple of Canadian provinces, have been doing cap and trade and things like that. And for them, for us, it actually has made the carbon levels be lower than they were expected to be. Not where we projected, but lower. So I don't know if that's enough of an experiment. We'll find out.
Well, there's many of those, and some don't work for some states, some don't work at all for any states.
Yeah.
They'd say, well, North Dakota does this as a, mm-hmm. as an argument, why should we? Well, I don't care if North Dakota did that. Let's go see what he did, but just because North Dakota did doesn't mean we're going to do it. But the subject wouldn't have been brought up if North Dakota hadn't done it.
Right, it creates its own reality.
One place it didn't work, I was sitting again with the governors, and North Dakota was on one side and South Dakota on the other side of me. Leaned over and said to North Dakota, what kind of an airplane do you have? And so he's describing the airplane. And I say, shit, we don't have any airplane. North and South Dakota. But I really think we should have had. But that was a matter of not being a governor's plan. But I can have my department heads go to Ontario
right.
and back the same day
yeah.
instead of a 3-day trip.
Yeah.
And somebody sent me a little wooden airplane. This is the only airplane you're going to get.
Well, I think that's a good morning.
Jim, I enjoyed being with you. And really, I try not to overlive it, but I have some great memories, but aside from the technical political side of things that happened. But I was up the Rogue River and staying at the lodge. The sheriff was in deep trouble. He'd get these hippies coming through. He'd shave their head and turn them loose. Anyway, in the backyard, he had this agriculture engine thing out there. Yep. And he had Marlboro Strong. And he had Strong on there. What do you have Strong? Well, he said, look, I tried and tried and tried to get it started. And when I finally got it started, I couldn't stop it. So, and the Strong. Little things like that. You've seen my paddle, my up the creek with those.
Yes.
You have it.
Yeah, I think we've got it.
They gave it to me. Said, "Governor, you screwed up more than once." So. But it almost got to be an honor. Did you hear the story of how it first started? You would really enjoy this. Well, I was going up the Rogue. And this paddle comes out, and I grabbed it. And instantly I had an idea. Anyway, we painted it up and up the creek without a paddle and all that. And the first one was my public utilities commissioner. Again, names. Good man, did a good job. Anyway, he was testifying, and it was controversial. The room was filled with people, and of course, TV and news and radio. And so they were on him. Now, Governor Tim, as you know, they kept hounding him. This is Governor idea, Tim. Finally, the senators dropped off, except one hung in there and kept hanging. Finally, out loud in this room, is Senator, this job is tough enough. I don't have to take that shit. There's number one. But that's exactly how the public is.
I've always wondered what I would do if I was called to testify before Congress or something like that. Like, do you listen to what you're saying? Any idea about this?
Oh yeah, the different things. The Department of Transportation. They were working on the bridge between West and East Hill. And Christmas time is coming up, and he gets on the TV, I guess it was, and says that cautioning people not to use the ridge. I said, don't you know these guys have been waiting all year long for this period of time, and you're telling them don't come to downtown?
Mm-hmm.
He got it. We had fun with our staff meetings, and we had jokes, and we had reports.
Good.
And it was a good deal. I'd like to make clear, of course, Jerry Thompson was a Republican, but I had Pat Amadeo on natural resources, and Bob was on the basically rest of governments. And I knew Pat was a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Duncan recommended her, and I knew when I hired her, she was really good. But it wasn't until after I left office I found out Bob was registered Democrat. So, next one. But you see, that's a good lesson, because what the hell does this make?
Yeah.
I mean, but just don't let that bother you.
Yeah.
It's the same thing between the female and male. As a woman or a man. There are competent women and competent men, and incompetent also.
Yeah.
So, if you start carrying those buckets around, and you're weary in a hurry.
Yeah. Yeah. When reading your oral history, you were writing about your relationship with Bob Smith.
Yeah.
And then when he became speaker. But at some point, he made everybody had to be a Republican on the staff. And I know the other end of the story. When he was in Congress, he had Democrats and Republicans. And when Walden came in, he fired all the Democrats. So I don't know if Bob Smith had seen, you know, I just have to have people running these offices who know what they're doing. I don't know what changed, but it was interesting to read your from the 1960s, 70s. And then I was paying attention, you know, when he left office.
Yeah.
And it was a different thing. And Walden came in and said, nope, all Democrats are out the door.
Bob did that. He didn't change.
Yeah.
But fascinating, again, is that picture of a six in a phone booth.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't the thing. We were having left. But we had a state treasurer, Tony Meeker,
mm-hmm.
Supreme Court Justice Chief, Congressman, and government out of that six.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's pretty good odds.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. Well, good. I'm going to be